Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
As we begin this morning, I want to find out, how was your prayer life this past week? I hear awesome. That's a praise. So how did that investment go, your prayer investment in relationship with the Lord? Some of you are like, whoa, Pastor, like it's first thing in the morning, just chill on it. Like, there's context here, okay? You see, last week we dove into the prayer life of Jesus. We looked at his life in the New Testament as we see it, and we sought to draw out some lessons about prayer for our lives today. We gave out prayer journals, these little booklets with empty pages and a little two-sided tool that just helps to model prayers, ways to pray. And I tell you, I did this week. I don't normally write prayers, but as we talked about it, I thought, okay, Lord, I'll try it. And it did help me focus because I can have squirrels running through a circus a lot in my head. So, like, this did help. But we jumped into this idea of prayer in our everyday life. If you missed that this past week, I would encourage you to go onto our website, cotnaz.org. There's a tab there. Watch, listen. The audio of these messages is posted every week. Get in there, get involved, follow along with us. If you don't have one of these prayer journals and you want one, or do you just need the little piece of paper that outlines those prayers, they're up here at the cross, please take one. Don't leave without it if you think this tool can help you engage in prayer. We are in a teaching series called Everyday Faith. Everyday Faith, this teaching series idea, reminds me a lot of IKEA instructions. Does everybody know what IKEA is? That they're online retailer, they sell furniture, but it all comes flat. I mean, you might think Wayfair, Target, Walmart, they all sell flat furniture, but all of this stuff shows up and you have to put in the work to put it all together, right? Well, Everyday Faith, there's a page in all of these instructions that's always towards the beginning, and it's critically important, and it's this one right here. It is the tools required page. There might be 150,000 pieces in that box from IKEA, but you have to start here. What is it going to take to bring this thing together? Friends, that's really what we're asking in Everyday Faith. What are the daily disciplines, the daily tools that we need to go into building our relationship with Jesus? And I want to be clear, these tools, these disciplines are not an end of themselves. It's not like you have a clamp just for the sake of having a clamp. No, it's there for a purpose. It's to guide us. It's to bring us into relationship with Jesus. Not a clamp. That would not work well. But that's what these disciplines are for. When we talk about prayer, it's not an obligation of religion. It's an invitation to relationship. That's everyday faith. What are the critical things that go into our everyday practice to see our faith come to life? Just like we brush our teeth every day and take showers every day, I hope that's going on, or we have that cup of coffee, we believe our faith life needs those same practices. That there are things every day we do to grow in relationship and intimacy with the Lord. That's everyday faith. That's what we're looking at. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to dive into each week a different tool to live out our faith. Today, we're going to look at the everyday faith practice, the tool, if you will, of studying God's Word, the Bible, every day. Studying every day. We believe that the Bible is God's inspired word through the hands of human authors. That the Bible reveals to us who God is, what He's like, His nature, His character, and it also reveals for us His plan of redemption and salvation throughout history and into eternity ahead. If you look into the scriptures talk about themselves a lot. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 3:16. There, the Apostle Paul's writing, and he says about the scriptures, all scripture is God-breathed. Your translation might say inspired by God, but it's really trying to get at this meaning that it's God's breathed-out expression of himself. And he says there in 1 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, I mean, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, well, what's happening there? So we see that not only is God's word, the Bible, his inspired word, it's his breathed-out expression, it is useful and practical in the everyday living out of our faith. That's God's word. And friends, I don't know about you, but that is already way ahead of IKEA instructions. This is practical living. And you can actually look at, studies have been done, what changes? What happens when we start reading God's word? Studies show that it will reduce stress by 20 to 30%. Studies show it reduces, regular scripture reduces anxiety by 25%. Pornography usage decreases by 61%. Alcoholism falls by 57%. And it produces a measurable increase in hopefulness. I don't know about you, but I could use a measurable increase in hopefulness. God's word. God's word. So we see that. We see that it's God's breathe-out expression, that it changes us tangibly in our lives, but yet data also shows that only about 50 to 60% of Christians have a regular rhythm of reading the Bible. Half of us are missing out on what it offers. Half of us are missing out. And you say, well, Pastor, what qualifies as regular? It seems like somewhere around 4 times a week is the tipping point where you really start to see the benefits and the growth of getting into God's word. Once on Sunday is not nearly enough. And so as I looked at those studies and what God's word is and how it changes us, I could not help but wonder, would that statistic of 50 to 60% hold in this room? Are you getting into God's word regularly? Are we allowing it to get into us, to transform us and search us? You see, the truth is, without a regular practice of getting into God's word, the pieces of life just aren't going to come together without it. It's the power of God's word. So will you commit to the everyday practice of reading the Bible? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, the copy of scripture that we have that is available to us, Lord. We hear and we see that it is your breathed out expression, Lord, telling the story of your nature and character and your people and your plan of salvation. Lord, as we try to study your word about your word, would you open our hearts today? Help us to reimagine our relationship and our daily walk with your word. Not so that we can get a pat on the back because we read it or anything like that, but Lord, but that we might know you more, that we might be changed by your word. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So this whole idea of everyday faith, we believe, as we're trying to look at the good news of Easter and coming out of that season celebrating resurrection life, we are looking to the practices and ways to live that out. How should our life be different as Christians, as followers of Jesus? And we believe that Jesus, anytime we have a question like that, how do we live this thing out? Jesus is our model of life and faith. And so what we're going to do today and what we're doing throughout this series is we're looking to the scriptures to see how Jesus lived out his faith. And so that's what we're going to do with Bible reading today. As you would jump into the New Testament, to the life of Jesus, it won't take you long to see that Jesus quotes scripture a lot. It's estimated that there are over 300 either allusions or direct quotations used by Jesus of the Old Testament. A great example of this comes from Matthew 22. And we're going to turn there if you have your copy of Scripture with you this morning. What's happening is Jesus is asked by a religious expert. He's asked, what is the greatest commandment? Now, this question, it's kind of a trap, but this expert is trying to see how well Jesus knows the Scriptures. And we have Jesus' answer there in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 22. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, if you've been around the church or been around Scripture at all, that might sound really familiar, and we read it as Scripture, and it is. It is. But what's interesting here and what's fascinating to me is that Jesus is pulling two separate commands from two different books of the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, what difference does that make? Friends, I think that reveals for us in just one really small instance how much of a handle Jesus had on the Scriptures, how much he knew them, had them saturated in his heart, that he could answer a trick-trap question, well, what's the greatest commandment? He knows because he knows the God that's revealed in the Scriptures. He has that level of intimacy and knowledge of God's Word. As you look at the other places in the Scriptures, the New Testament, where Jesus quotes Scripture, it's in his teaching. He uses it to settle debates. It's literally just coming out of him. And now I know what you're thinking. But Pastor, come on. This is Jesus. Like, he's a special case, right? And yes. But can we really know God's Word like he did? It's a fair question, right? Can we too be saturated with God's Word that it would just come out of us? I don't know. I want to do a little experiment real quick that'll help us try to answer this question. Now, I need you to participate, okay? Or it's just going to be really flat and boring. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing or say the first part of a jingle or like an advertisement or a slogan, and I just want you to finish it, okay? Can we do that together? All right. Two of you. Great. All right, here we go. Just blurt it out, okay? This is that part of the service. What would you do? Hoo-hoo. Klondike bars. Ice cream. Some of y'all do a lot of things for ice cream. How about this one? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Alka-Seltzer. Yeah. Right? All right, this one is a little tougher because I have to try to be musical and that never goes well. But here we go. I think you'll get it. Are you ready? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Who's that for? McDonald's. Yeah. All right, last one, I promise. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. Chili's. I actually thought that was for Applebee's. I was like, ah. So I was 3 for 4. Now, how many of you, just show of hands, how many of you got 3 out of those 4? Okay. Now, back to our question. Can we remember God's Word to the point that it would just flow out of us? Now, I don't know about you. I try to get those jingles out of my head and can't do it. There is something about the way God has made our brains that stuff sticks. And so as we look to the life of Jesus and we ask that question, well, oh man, can I really know God's Word that way? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yes. Yes, we can, but we have to be intentional. We have to be repetitive. Can we learn God's Word? What would you do for a Klondike? Rule. Takes time, takes intentionality, but we can do it. Will we? Will we? Another interesting thing as you look to the life of Jesus, I've still got that jingle in my head. It's the worst. Another thing you see looking at the life of Jesus is that he saw himself in the story of the Bible. Now hang with me here. We're going to work through this one. Luke chapter 4. I want to go there for just a second. Jesus, early in his ministry, he's in a local synagogue, a local house of worship, and he's asked to read. And so he picks up the Old Testament scripture, what we would call the scroll of Isaiah or the book of Isaiah, and Jesus begins to read. And this is what he reads. Luke 4, verse 18, starting. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Not only does Jesus know what Isaiah says, he sees his very life as intricately and intricately connected and involved with the story it's telling. You see, the scriptures tell us of God's redemptive plan, his plan of salvation. And friends, it's that story, it's that narrative revealed in scripture that Jesus set his identity and his purpose by. Jesus understood he was a part of the story that the scriptures were telling and were pointing to. Now look, I know you're not Jesus and I'm not either, and that's great news for all of us. Jesus, yes, is the Son of God. He came to fulfill a very specific purpose in God's redemptive plan. However, you and I are still in the story. We're still in the story that the Bible is telling. You see, the Bible tells us that we are created by God for a purpose, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that Jesus loved us so much that he died on a cross for our sins, making us a pathway of salvation and freedom that we might know him. And now, as believers and followers of Jesus, we are invited, we are commissioned to take part in his redemption story that is going to culminate in the ultimate healing of all creation. Friends, if you are in Christ Jesus today, this is your story. This is our story as followers of Jesus, and it's all in here. We just got to get in it. You see, friends, you're living your life by some narrative today. Maybe it's the American dream. Work hard, have a big 401k, then take it easy. Whatever it is, the white picket fence and two, whatever. We're living by a narrative. Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, our narrative is here. This is our story. This is your story. We just got to get in it. We got to get in it. So Jesus knew the scriptures. He saw himself in it, and it was his weapon for warfare. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, just being baptized, is led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted, and that's where we're going to pick up this narrative in Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" When the devil came around to tempt Jesus, to try to throw him off track, to get him to sin, to get off his call, he comes and he's trying to get Jesus to go against God's word. But don't miss what happens here. Jesus, hearing this temptation, responds with God's word. He used the scriptures as a weapon in the battle of his life. He quotes scripture back to the enemy. And so just think about this. Jesus himself used scripture to win the battles in his life. Friends, I don't know about you, but that seems like an awfully good reason to get into scriptures. as a weapon for the battles of our lives. It's a weapon for warfare. Can I ask you today? We just took a couple snippets from the life of Jesus. But if we stopped here, how are you doing getting into God's Word? If Jesus is our model of life and faith, how you doing? How you doing getting into God's Word or getting it into you? Are you experiencing the energy and the power that His Word contains for your life? I want to share just a quick testimony with you of the power of God's Word, even today, to transform a life. Let's watch.
I knew it was about 1993. I was had been with the Stadler Brothers, you know, for quite a few years, and I was going through a pretty painful divorce. My father had been diagnosed with cancer, and it was his, they gave him about a year to live, and I was really having a tough time dealing with all that. We were going on the road, and we stopped in Little Rock, Arkansas. It was about March 1993. I didn't want to leave home because my family life was kind of just in turmoil. And on our way to Little Rock, Arkansas, we got there about 2 in the morning. It was cloudy and just, I mean, foggy. I couldn't sleep, so on the bus, so I just got off the bus and I made my way into the hotel room. And it was just this depressing hotel. I can't even explain. I was really down. I'm really down, about as down as I've ever been in my life at that time. Couldn't fix things, you know. And I wondered, you know, I knew that I would never commit suicide or anything like that. I knew in my heart I'd never do something like that. But I understood why people get in that frame of mind sometimes, you know, when they get so far down. I was in the hotel room and I was sitting there on the side of the bed and I couldn't sleep. I just sat there and I just like, I didn't know what to do, what to say. I wanted to call somebody, but I didn't know who to call. And I looked over at the nightstand and the Bible was open. There was a Gideon Bible there. It was open. And I just ran over to the Bible and I looked down and it was Jeremiah 5:25. It said, your sins and your iniquities have kept good things from you. Man, I sat on the side of the bed and I just felt like Jesus was sitting there right there with me. I really felt like He was there. I was like, I know you're here. And I know He was saying, Jimmy, this is my word. This is how I speak to you. You need to open it up and look at it sometimes and read it. This is how I'm speaking to you now. Your sins and your iniquities have kept good things from you. Nobody else's name can go in there but your name. If you're going to change your life, you got to change it with you. And it starts with you. You can't change anybody else. You can't do anything about anybody else. And so, and I just broke down and I was crying and I felt like, I said, you know, I know you're here, Jesus. I know you're sitting right beside me. I feel like if I look, I'm going to see you, but if I look, I'm doubting that you're there. And I didn't look. I said, I know you're here. And that moment was a defining moment in my life. I said, I want you to come into my heart. Clean my heart out. Don't just come in the living room. Come into all the places that I have in there and clean every room out. And from that moment on, He started working in my life. And I knew that my life was starting to take a different direction. And that was in 1993.
Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive. It's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Friends, that is the power and importance of God's Word for your life today. And I understand that a lot of times if a subject like this comes up, we can feel guilty or ashamed for what we're doing or not doing. And I just want to say, this is not about making you feel bad for what you're doing or not doing. This is a gracious invitation to take a step of faith. That no matter if you've been a Christian for a day or 70 years, that our goal is that we want to follow in the life and way of Jesus. And so from wherever you're at today, will you take a step of faith in getting into God's Word? To see its power come alive in you. To transform your life. You see, this is an opportunity. This is not about a religious obligation. This is about an opportunity of relationship with Jesus through his word. So will you get into it? Will you get into it? Part of the way we want to structure and articulate this series is to get super practical. You say, well, Pastor, if I need some help in that, how do we get started? How do I get started reading God's word? I want to just share a couple things with you. They're not revolutionary, but they are critical in getting started. You say, well, Pastor, how do I start? The first thing is going to sound too simple, but it's absolutely critical. We have to make time to read it. I looked at a lot of survey data this week, and the number one answer as to why people don't engage with the scriptures, I don't have time. I saw another study by Lifeway Research that said Christians were twice as likely to engage Facebook as the Bible. Now, I did not make that up for the point of this message. It is real data you can go look at. It was 66% likely to get on Facebook versus 33% likely to get in the good book. We got to make time. We've got to set that priority. If you don't have that rhythm now, we are very much trying to bring a new habit into our lives. So we got to start small. That psychology of exercise and changing habits, it applies to this too. And so if you don't have that rhythm, start with 5 minutes. Set a timer on your phone. Start with 5 minutes. Maybe if you're at five, you try to extend it. But make time, make it a priority to get into God's word. And look, you've got to start with something doable or it'll seem overwhelming. If you just set out and say, I'm going to read an hour a day, that's a great goal. But it's hard on day one and day five. So just start with something you can do. And celebrate when you do it. It's okay. I made it 5 minutes today. Praise God. Start small. Set time. Secondly, use the tools that are available to you. It's 2025. There's a lot of tools for getting into God's word. A lot of free tools. This is a great one. This is the Bible app. If you go to your app store on your phone and download this, the Bible app, it's absolutely free. It's loaded full of different translations of the Bible. It has reading plans. If you don't know where to start, there is a plan within the Bible app that you can click, and it'll walk you through every day where you should read and share some devotional thoughts with you. Within this app, you can also listen to the scriptures. So you can connect it to your car on your way to work. You can put it in your earbuds while you're running on the treadmill or working out at the gym. You can get God's word into you in so many different ways. Use the tools that are available. Another good tool that is in easy access is a study Bible. These are Bibles that have the text written, and then they have little study notes and application notes to tell you what you just read. This one is specifically is the Life Application Bible, and its goal is to do what it says, the life application of the Scriptures. And that's how it's focused and geared. And so it'll explain, you know, who was David? Who were some of these characters? What does this verse mean? And so this is another great tool that you can dive into and connect with the Scriptures. Another great tool is a friend. Now, don't tell them I called them a tool, but hang with me here. Get somebody to read the Bible with you. Get somebody to do it with you. It helps with accountability. Hey, how you doing? Are you keeping up with that five-minute plan? Oh, all right, hey, let's catch up. It helps with questions. Did you read that crazy passage in Genesis this week? What was that all about? Let's dialogue it out. You see, it creates, God's word is read in community. It creates conversation and growth. Read it with a friend. Use the tools and resources around you. Next, start small. You've already heard that already. But start small. If you aren't sure where to start, like you pick up this great big book and you're like, Pastor, what page? Start small. I actually don't tend to recommend that you start in Genesis 1 and try to make it to Revelation. That is incredibly difficult. It's good, and we should do that. But if you're getting started, let's start small. Let's start with something like the letter of James. James is just a couple chapters long. It's towards the end of the New Testament when you go to look for it. It's the half-brother of Jesus, and it is so practical for everyday life. And you can read it in about 20 minutes if you want to just sit down and go. But don't feel like you have to tackle this whole thing. Tackle a piece. Get into it. Pick a letter and write it. And it's not just about getting through the chapters. It's not about word count a day. It's about understanding what this says. It's about allowing the words to search our hearts and get into us. You say, well, Pastor, I'd rather start in the words of Jesus. That's easy to do too. Go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's a great big compiling of Jesus' teaching and preaching, and it will revolutionize your life. So if you need to start small, for that 5 minutes a day you don't know where to start, go read James. Go read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and just do it slowly. Do it prayerfully. It's not about content, getting a quantity of content. It's about getting the quality of the content in us. That's God's word. And finally, I would tell you, it's okay to ask the Lord to help you. Ask your friends, ask me, ask anybody here to help you. That's great. But it is absolutely okay to ask the Lord to help you. Lord, will you give me a hunger to get in this book? Give me the want to. Give me that desire. And Lord, when I get into it, will you help me understand what it's saying? You know, friends, the Spirit that inspired the authors of Scripture is the same Holy Spirit that is alive and well and within us today. We can talk to the author. Praise the Lord. Ask God to help you reading His Word. He will do it. Can you get it in you? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. What would you do? Friends, can I just tell you? You will never regret 1 minute you spend in God's Word. You'll never regret it. I have two gifts for you today. The first is a Bible, good old-fashioned paper and ink. If you don't have a paper and ink Bible today, would you please take one? You might need a magnifying glass for this one. But if you don't have a paper copy of Scripture, will you please take one today? There's just something about being able to highlight and write and hold it. Would you take one today? This is the NIV translation. It's Genesis to Revelation. It's the whole thing. There's some up here on the front at the table, and there's some in the back. Would you take one today? Don't leave without it. Don't leave without God's Word. Yeah, and if you got a smartphone, download that app. It's great. But don't leave without a paper and ink copy today and get into it. And if you know somebody in your life that needs one, go plant a seed. Give them a Bible. Offer to read it with them. So that's your first gift. The second gift is a little tool. It's an acrostic that helps us not just read the words on the page, but get the page in us, right? It's HEAR, H-E-A-R, highlight, explain, apply, and respond. This is just a little metric that as we sat down to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, or we sat down to read the book of James, this helps us think about what we're doing. Because we're not just trying to read words on a page, we're trying to get into it. And this is a method. It's not the only one, but just try it. If you're not sure where to start, you're new in Bible study, or maybe you want to try something different. These cards are printed. There's, again, some in the front and some in the back. Just get into the Word. Listen to it. Study it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Just do it. You can do it. You can do it. We can do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, your disciples, we talked last week, they saw you praying and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, we're looking at your life today and how you knew the Scriptures. And Lord, will you teach us to hold and handle and value and treasure your word like you did. Lord, will you give us that desire, Lord, to be there with you? And Lord, as your spirit inspired the authors, help us to understand, Lord, what that word is speaking to us. And Lord, help us to change, to submit ourselves to the truth that we see in your word. Lord, may today, May the 4th, 2025, mark a new day in our lives and our relationship with your word. And let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand and worship with us this morning?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.